A cursory study of history reveals that the end to injustices against humanity were spearheaded by the people of God. Let's remember that the end of slavery was not brought about by the atheist. It was the Christian, spurred on to good works from the preaching of the word of God in the church, who led the charge to end slavery. It was the Christian who saw the suffering of the orphan and raised up orphanages. It was the Christian who cared for the infirm in our communities, which is the very reason you will never find a Friedrich Nietzsche hospital in any community, anywhere. It was the Christian, not the atheist, that saw the predicament of mankind and responded with the love of Jesus Christ. And today is no different. It is not the atheist that cares about the plight of the unborn. It is the Christian. But the issue is complex in our era. We have pastors too afraid to speak on the issue of life for varying reasons. Some, like the Presbyterian minister Andrew Kukla, openly praise and help groups like Planned Parenthood. But examples like Mr. Kukla, thankfully, are not incredibly common. He left the reservation long ago when it comes to understanding that what God's word says about just who it is that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But there are other pastors that happen to be very outspoken on the issue of life in the church today. You may have met some. Sadly, somewhat like Kukla, they are not so commonplace. So when you do have a pastor that speaks out, it actually becomes newsworthy. And that in and of itself is a very sad commentary. The largest percentage of pastors in America today do not speak out on the issue of life at all. They remain silent either because they fear individuals in their congregation and they don't want to upset the apple cart or potentially get fired, or they fear the backlash of the politically correct police that marshal themselves from church to church, making sure that each church and each pastor in that church toes the line. It seems that many pastors have lost passion for what matters most. They are pandering people pleasers, which preach happy and empty platitudes from their pulpits. They spend the majority of their time extracting the teeth from the message of God's word so that it no longer has a bite upon anyone's soul. The message preached in these pulpits merely gums away at a person's motivation, sort of like being nibbled to death by a duck. Pastors need to again find their heart. Pastors in America need to regain their passion for all of God's word. I was blessed this past year to travel to Poland. And as I was there, many of you know, I walked the grounds of Auschwitz and Birkenau. And it is impossible to stand, as we did, inside the gas chambers of Auschwitz and come out of that room unchanged. What the Nazi soldiers did to the Jews as a part of their final solution was to propagate a vast, terrible lie about the true nature of Auschwitz. Many Jews willingly boarded trains that were headed for Auschwitz because they had been promised to receive food and clothing and shelter there. And as we stood on the railroad tracks that led into Birkenau, we were told one such story of one young girl, only 12 years old at the time. She had actually been given a ticket to Auschwitz. And when she was unloading off of the train, she smelled something that she had never smelled before. And she thought it must be some delightful food that they are making for all of the weary travelers. It did not take her long at all to realize the horrible truth about Auschwitz and what that smell was. The ground in Auschwitz is comprised of the ashes of 1.5 million people that were senselessly massacred there. And it was not lost on me that here, back in the United States, that the smoke still rises from our own gas chambers and ovens above the Planned Parenthood buildings dotted all throughout our communities. And just like the great lies told about Auschwitz to the Jews, young women are led to believe that these health centers will be a great place of help and hope to them. This intentional deception is sermonized by leaders in both parties and the highest positions of our land. And sadly, the loudest noise coming from the pulpits in America today concerning what is happening is silence. Deafening silence. In fact, in the face of this relentless onslaught of evil, the Church of Jesus Christ has grown timid and afraid. We have abandoned the truth of God's word. We have compromised the stern demands of God's law. We have tailored our message to meet the needs of sinful man as if sinful man ever knew what he actually needed. We have prostituted ourselves. And the gospel that we profess to proclaim for worldly popularity and success. We have seemingly forgotten that God did not call us to be popular or successful. God has called us to be faithful. The pulpits in America and the people-pleasing preachers that stand in them Sunday after Sunday have brought about what we now experience, this desolation of decency. Our pastors and their pulpits need to thunder again with the unchanging message of the whole counsel of the Word of God. One thing that I am thankful for in this culture war we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of today in the state of Iowa is that the contrast of those who are in the darkness and those who are in the light are becoming more and more clear. There is no place anymore for those who choose to sit on the fence about being engaged in this discussion or not. The time has come for the church to experience a winnowing. We will know without any doubt the pastors who are preaching the truth and the pastors who are merely pleasing the people. So what do we do? What is the proper response for those of us in the church who care? I believe it to be very simple, honestly. In fact, the right response is rarely complicated. It doesn't mean that it's easy, but it is rarely complicated. First things first is that the people of God need to pray. As a church body, pastors need to be calling the church to pray for America, to pray for the end to abortion in America. Weekly scheduled prayer gatherings of the body of Christ with no other purpose but to get together to pray to the Lord of every nation on behalf of our own nation. And as a pastor, listen, honestly, my heart is that prayer, I know, is one of the most unpopular things that you can call people to do in a church, it seems. It's hard to get the church together to pray. But I believe it is very important for us to begin to create that environment to do whatever needs to be done to just pray. Every week for America. And secondly, I believe pastors need to preach the whole counsel of God's word. Our culture truly is in rebellion against God. There is no debate on that point. And as pastors, we are to be in the business of confronting that rebellion. And I believe at the root of all that is wrong in society now is the very thing that pastors have been called to do something about. What is at the core of the rebellion and the problem in our culture today is biblical ignorance and biblical illiteracy. I guarantee you that most of my fellow pastors believe that they are preaching the word of God. My question would be, how much and by what method? Because I maintain that what the risen Lord Jesus did on the road to Emmaus is what we need to be emulating. As it is written in Luke 24, verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he," Jesus, "explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And it is, in fact, our job to explain. The King James Version uses the verb expound. Expounding from the scriptures, all the scriptures, concerning what is said about Jesus Christ. That is what pastors in the pulpits of America need to return to. I maintain that we are following a tradition currently that developed during a time in American history when people were biblically literate, and the primary book from which their whole family learned to read was the Word of God. And in such a time like that, topical sermon series would make a whole lot of sense. But they don't now. I would say that what the Lord Jesus did is what we need to return to expound, beginning somewhere, beginning at one end of the Bible and working through from what Moses said and all the prophets said concerning our Lord Jesus. Paul said to the Ephesian elders in the book of Acts, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God. The very same thing that Jesus did on the road to Emmaus was what the apostles continued to do. The word of God is powerful. It is the very thing that changes the world. It is the very thing that created the world. It is the very thing that right now, in these very dark times in which we live, must be made known. All of it. The whole counsel of God. That's the answer. How do we confront the onslaught of death that is being brought upon us through abortion in our culture? Prayer and preaching all of God's word. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's not easy. So what do you do? What's your next step? On the back of this room, there is a table represented by an organization here called Personhood Iowa. We hope to start a Personhood Iowa Southside chapter group right here in our church. And our purpose for focusing on this issue this morning is to challenge you to take the next step, to do something, to sign up on a card beginning right here, right now, with us, not somebody else, with you. To take a card, sign up, and say, I want to be a part of this chapter group. I want to get involved. I want to help do my part. That's your part. That's your role. So before we leave, I hope that you will see Tim at the back of the table and Rebecca and just sign up on a card. And if you didn't come to Sunday school this morning, you need to ask Rebecca to give you the 10-minute version standing in the hallway of what she shared, because it's important. That's my challenge to you this morning. Why don't you stand up? I want to pray with you. Father,